Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The Nutcracker is a holiday tradition, but this year, St. Louis is getting a very special spin on the classic. It was all the way back in 1892 that Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky composed the Nutcracker as a two-act ballet. Then, in 1960, jazz giant Duke Ellington and his composing partner Billy Strayhorn took the classical ethereal ballet and gave it something different. This year, this jazz-inspired take on the Nutcracker is getting its own new spin. And in a way, it's very St. Louis. The latest take on the Nutcracker is a collaboration between the St. Louis Dance Theater and Jazz St. Louis. Later this month, they're taking this holiday tradition to a place it's never been before, to a story set in Gaslight Square in St. Louis of the 1960s. And joining me in studio to talk about it is Kirvin Douthat-Boyd, Artistic Director of St. Louis Dance Theater. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Victor Goines, CEO of Jazz St. Louis. Great to have you with us as well.
It is truly a pleasure.
And thank you both for joining us today. So, Kirvin, the idea for this collaboration began with you. We'll explore more about the approach that you're taking and the story driving it a little later. But let's start at the beginning. How and when was the seed for this Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker production planted?
Yeah, I've had the great pleasure of seeing the band at the Bistro play this arrangement for some time, and I thought it would be a great idea to put contemporary and jazz dance to the score. And so we approached the team at Jazz St. Louis and said, hey, like, let's make some magic. And and right away, you know, it was a how are we going to do this, right? So we are so thrilled to be bringing this to the community.
Mm-hmm. And just to put a very fine point on this, magic is not something that happens overnight.
Right.
This took some time, right?
Absolutely, yes. This took a lot of time. You know, we have been working on this for well over a month now, you know, just dreaming about this story and putting this movement to it.
Mm-hmm. But it's actually, wasn't it 2 years ago that first, like, you were listening and sort of imagining a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's been, we
long
approached
time.
The yeah. team a while ago, yeah.
So, Kirvin, you've been a professional dancer and choreographer for many years, both here in St. Louis, it's been about 10 years now,
yeah.
and across the country. What has your relationship, so to speak, been with the Nutcracker Ballet over all those years?
Yeah, so my background is actually in contemporary and modern dance. I had the great privilege of performing with the Avenida American Dance Theater for 11 great years. And my education in dance was through codified forms of modern and some ballet.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually only had experiences with the Nutcracker, like, as a patron.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Okay. You know, I've never actually danced the Nutcracker,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, have always been inspired by ballet and by this work and the magic and the storytelling. And so my time as a dancer in Avenida American Dance Theater, right, because that's the point that we're making here, is that, mm-hmm. like, it's like visual storytelling, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, just drawing on that experience and pulling in all of the things that I've researched about Billy Strayhorn and about Gaslight District and all of that together to tell this really fun tale has been, you know, I've been like a mad scientist, so to speak.
Okay. So, Victor, we heard a bit of the 1960 album, The Nutcracker Suite, in our intro, but talk with us about why that album is special, especially the collaboration between these two amazing musicians, Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn.
Right. Well, the original piece, obviously by Tchaikovsky, was written in the classical form, but Duke Ellington, who believe that all music is either good or that other stuff, took the good aspects of it and made it great inside of the world of jazz, because he believed in music. So he reimagined it using the elements of jazz, which is rhythm, the blues, and swing, which are all quite in line with what Kirvin does in dance, because they swing every time they dance. They dance with the blues, and they're always in sync, and that's what swing is all about.
And when people listen to jazz, how are they using their bodies?
That's a great question, and everybody has a chance to use their body in their own way, because that's what the music is about. It's about individual interpretation. So there's no wrong way to use your body when you're listening to jazz music, whether you're stationary or whether you're moving all over the place. It's all fair game.
Right. Not quite as buttoned up as what we imagine with ballet, right?
That's true.
Maybe. Now, Duke Ellington is very well known. Billy Strayhorn, though, is not. Who was he, Victor, and why is it important to bring more light to his work and his life?
Well, Billy Strayhorn is well known in the jazz community, first of all. He is. He was whatever dominant hand Duke Ellington was, that was Billy Strayhorn. And Duke, after Strayhorn joined him somewhere after he was 16 years old, he wrote a great piece called Lush Life, which is still one of the all-time classics in jazz. He moved up to New York to spend time at the invitation of Duke Ellington. He wrote the piece that ultimately became Duke's theme song, Take the A-Train, and many, many other pieces along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But our community outside of jazz is just not as familiar with Billy Strayhorn. So this is where Kirvin has done his imagination to what's going on and taken an opportunity to acknowledge someone who was willing to be a part of Ellington in a secondary role to be part of greatness, even though he was greatness in and all by himself.
Right, right. And starting from a very young age as
Absolutely.
Well. Let's listen to one of the songs that will be performed December 20th and 21st as part of the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker. That was Peanut Brittle Brigade from the 1960 album The Nutcracker Suite by Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn. So there's a lot of toe-tapping that's been happening in here. And Kirvin, it sounds like a really fun song to dance to. So what has it been like working on the choreography for this show and songs like that?
It's been an incredible experience for both me and the dancers, just getting in closer with this music. And from my experience, I know that like all of the improvisational moments, right, will be slightly different once we get to the theater. And that's also something that I've kind of hyped up for the dancers, right? Like, be very well aware that, you know, this thing that you're hearing right now will be slightly different from the time, you know, every night in the moment. And, I think that speaks to the beauty of spontaneity, that speaks to the beauty of, like, you know, keeping them on their toes, no pun intended, right? Of just being hyper aware of what it is that they're listening to. And just, it was really fun for me to be creative in terms of storytelling and from a suite that, you know, from a 9-track suite, right? That is the score. Mm-hmm. You know, scaling that back from what the Tchaikovsky, you know, score was. Yeah. So it's been really fun.
And we'll pick up on that after this very quick break. We'll be back shortly to continue this conversation about a new and original contemporary dance and jazz production of The Nutcracker.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's return to our conversation with Kirvin Douthit-Boyd, Artistic Director of St. Louis Dance Theatre, and Victor Goines, CEO of Jazz St. Louis. The two companies are collaborating this year on a fresh take on the classic Nutcracker ballet. This year, though, it's contemporary dance paired with jazz, and together they tell a story involving jazz musicians Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn, who, in 1960, adapted the ballet into the album The Nutcracker Suite. Now, Kirvin, for those just joining us, the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker that's being performed next weekend is not just a concert. It's a narrative, and it tells the story of Billy Strayhorn. It really zooms in on him. Why is that?
I thought that it was really important to pay homage to Billy Strayhorn, who I understand in my research was the one who was actually the mastermind behind like taking Tchaikovsky's score and turning it into the Nutcracker that we understand as a suite. Billy Strayhorn was an incredible individual, a genius of a musician, and also a member of the LGBTQ community in the 1950s at a time when most folks tried to hide. And so as I learned more and more about him, I was thinking about this narrative, and, you know, in a conversation with Victor, he talked about Billy's dreams. And I thought, what would be Billy's dream in 2024? And it would be to see a queer love story take place out on stage. And so this work I am calling Gaslight Dreams. Mm-hmm. It's inspired by the life and times of Billy Strayhorn, the life and work of Billy Strayhorn. It's inspired by the vibrant, community that was the Gaslight Entertainment District that was popular in the 1950s, early 1960s. And it tells a story of a musician who comes to St. Louis to see Josephine Baker pulling her back into our world. St. Louis's own Josephine Baker in a one-night-only review, and he ends up falling in love with one of his chorus boys. And that love is the inspiration, and he becomes a muse, and that, you know, unlocks his creativity, and he ends up writing this remarkable score for Josephine. So, you know, it was a couple of things that I wanted to, you know, do here. Obviously, you know, pay homage to him, set it here in St. Louis so that it had that really personal relationship to this community, and, you know, be brave in the sense that, you know, was not necessarily happening during that time.
Right. Now, Victor, did that specific setting, the Gaslight Square, in the 1960s, that time, that place, that space, did that do anything to inform how the musicians have approached Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker this year?
Well, I don't think it necessarily influenced it how they played this year, but the musicians of St. Louis, I think they play with the energy and the kind of invigoration and heritage that Gaslight Square District brings to them from a historical point of view. So I think every time they pick up their horns, they have the opportunity to really be heard through the music that took place during that time in the Gaslight District.
Were there any questions that they had for you as you were presenting what would be happening this year? Because this is now going to be the fourth year that you are doing the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker. What did they respond with?
Well, while it's the first time we're doing this together, it's not the first time we have worked together another work of Duke Ellington. So based upon what they did in the past, I know that their expectation is going to be another version of excellence that was done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is to realize while we're doing another performance of Duke Ellington, Billy Strayhorn's The Nutcracker Suite, this is a world premiere of Curvin's piece.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Which must be really exciting.
Yeah.
Especially, I think, you know, with a piece that is so classic. Now, before the break, Victor, you mentioned the improvisational aspect of what's going to be happening with the music, and that's very much part of any jazz performance. But how is it that you thought about maybe helping dancers prepare for something that they have not really been able to prepare for? Your notes, rhythms maybe that they have not been being able to hear before they're on the stage in front of all these people.
Right. It's a great question. I mean, as I thought about when Curvin was speaking about it, there will be significant improvisation in the piece because everything is not written down. But what is there is the basic roux of the piece, speaking from a point of view of food in New Orleans, which is where I'm from.
Oh, sure.
The roux is very important. So that roux will be constant, even though the seasoning that the dancers will hear in improvisation will impact what they're doing. It might be somewhat of the same dance steps, forgive my lack of terminology. However, it will actually hopefully energize them to the next level to take that to a place where it has never been before, because that's what we try to do when we play as musicians.
Mm-hmm. Curvin, how does improvisation change the way that you as a dancer get ready for this kind of a performance?
Oh, it keeps the dancers hyper aware. And to Victor's point, and also, like I said before, I've kind of prepared them for this, right? You know, understand that, you know, this might sound slightly different. And I think that they are, you know, they're actually at this point, like, they're kind of expecting that, right? So so grounded and so, you know, focused and what they understand to be the steps, right? But understanding the storytelling and all of that, like, you know, those improvisational moments are going to be actually very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's listen to a selection from another song that will be part of the performance. This is Arabesque Cookies from the 1960 album The Nutcracker Suite. And that is Arabesque Cookies from the 1960 album The Nutcracker Suite by Ellington, Duke Ellington, and Billy Strayhorn. Now, Curvin, you mentioned Josephine Baker, and she herself was a St. Louis native. She is part of the story that audiences are going to experience next weekend. What was it that interested you about seeing these figures together, you know, having this moment that they never had in real life?
Yeah, to bring her back to St. Louis, you know, something about that felt very special to me. And all of my research about her, you know, obviously, you know, there's, you know, great deal about her being in Europe and, you know, her time during the Harlem Renaissance, but never really found a lot about, you know, a special performance or something like that back in St. Louis. And she left St. Louis at a very difficult time in our city's history, right? And so to me, it felt very special for her to be like the draw for why he, even the musician, comes to, you know, comes to St. Louis. And so I thought it would be, you know, a poignant moment of storytelling to bring her back for a one-night review at the Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm.
Victor, as we close here, this performance is going to be given, you know, during Christmas. The Nutcracker is associated with that. What is the Christmas gift, as it were, that you hope audiences take away from this production?
Well, I first of all would probably use the terminology of a holiday event. Mm-hmm. So to realize it's not something for one group of people, but it's for all groups of people. And that way they can realize a philosophical thing I believe in, which is that if we look really deep within, we can all see that we are all actually the same, as opposed to just looking on the surface to see how we're different. And I think this music and Curvis Dance is something that everybody will love. If they don't love it yet, they don't know they're going to love it. Mm-hmm. So we just have to get them there so they can realize what it's all about.
Right. So it's a surprise gift.
It's a surprise gift.
Yeah. Victor Goines, the CEO of Jazz St. Louis, and Kirvin Douthat Boyd is Artistic Director of St. Louis Dance Theater. Their co-production of the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker runs December 20th and 21st. Kirvin and Victor, thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck with the performances next week.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.